Well, hello students. My name is Professor Chinmay Kamath, and we will now be discussing the subject of recruitment management. In this particular subject, we have 11 chapters which cater to understanding concepts related to recruitment, selection, induction, and interviewing skills. So this will provide you a comprehensive set of details related to the recruitment processes. Now we are going to begin with the first chapter, which is the introductory chapter. As stated in the previous slide, we will now look at chapter number one, which is introduction to the recruitment process. In this, we are going to understand in brief the concept of what is recruitment, how does recruitment happen, what are certain practices related to recruitment, and how does it differ from the other aspects of inducting people in the organization. So we are going to now look at a few slides which lead us to understanding what is recruitment. So recruitment, students, is the process of actively seeking out, that is to search, that is to find and hire candidates for a specific position or a job. For example, let us say there is a job for a project manager which comes up in a reputed MNC. Now, when this particular job opening happens for, let's say, a specific project, now what happens? The recruitment professionals are contacted by the management and there is an indication that you have to go ahead and search for this specific profile. So they will go out in the market, they will use their sources, they will also look at certain internal job requirements if needed and cater to this requirement. The recruitment definition includes the entire hiring process, so the wide gamut of activities that happen during the hiring is identified as the recruitment process broadly. This happens from the very beginning, that is the inception, to the individual recruits or candidates' integration into the organization. So this is, as we might have realized by now, a complete or an end-to-end process which begins with searching for candidates or prospects, having several rounds of interviews with those candidates or prospects, testing them for their experience, their knowledge, their skills, also making certain offers which are amenable to those candidates, and then providing them, once selected, providing them with the necessary induction related to the company, understanding the processes of the company, and integrating them completely into the organization. Now let's look at some essentials of recruitment. So as stated earlier, it's nothing but a search mechanism for certain people that need to fill vacancies or gaps in the organization. Now these are not yet employees, so we come to know them as prospective employees. Prospective meaning those who are prospected or those who are future prospects for the organization. And of course, stimulating them into applying for a job. Now, what is this? This means selling your organization. For example, if a startup is aspiring to recruit a senior manager or a project manager into their concern, they would need to first tell or inform candidates about the organization and the merits and benefits of working with this organization in the coming days, months, and years. So it's an important part, or a critical part, I may say, of an organization's human resource planning and their competitive strength, as we can see over here. Now, the objective of the recruitment process is to obtain the number and the quality of employees that can be selected in order to help the organization to achieve their goals and objectives. Let's suppose it's an automotive manufacturing company. Let's suppose, let's take the case of Maruti Udyog. So Maruti would require a set of managers, they would require supervisors, they would require operators, they would require blue-collar employees in order to, assemble the required number of vehicles, which they will then, put into the market. So their objective is to manufacture an X number of vehicles in a certain duration of time, and this would be their objective along with meeting their profits per vehicle. So this would be a prime objective of an organization, and to meet this every year there would be a certain number of employees that would be required. So that would be the demand that they would require from the market. So they would need to hire those many number of people in order to continuously work with their growing needs, their goals, and their objectives. So with the same objective, recruitment helps to create a pool of prospective employees for the organization. Now, by this we mean that recruitment is supposed to be or is perceived as a positive process. For example, if Maruti requires 50 operators to work on one of their important car projects, now would they go ahead and prospect for 50? Definitely not. How much would they prospect for? They would prospect for 100, 150, 200, thereby creating a wide pool of candidates. And then they can use the selection mechanism as a sort of a filter. So what would they do? A larger pool is first created, out of which they will filter according to their requirements. So if they require operators who should be at least a diploma holder in the mechanical stream of engineering, they would definitely not recruit an ITI or a 10th pass, correct? So those candidates with undesired qualifications would be filtered out. Similarly, somebody who's done their M.Tech would not be an ideal fit for this job, as they would be overqualified. We will again refer to this concept in the future discussions as well. So recruitment process of any organization is normally targeted towards attracting more talent towards their job application, which I've already cited through the help of a very relevant sort of an example. Of course, it's very difficult to, state this again and again or overemphasize. So this is extremely quintessential or important as a part of the recruitment process. So the more the number of applicants, the more selective can be the hiring, as stated in the Maruti example. For example, 50 people required, you prospect for 100, then you can afford to be selective. You can afford to use stricter mechanisms to filter the undesirable prospects. So recruitment helps divide applications into categories of underqualified and overqualified, as simply stated in the Maruti example. Now we come to another process, which is a part of the hiring mechanism, which comes under the overarching hiring mechanism, which is known as selection. Now here, this process is, as the name goes, to select amongst the generated pool of candidates, correct? So of course, any organization, may it be Microsoft, may it be Volkswagen, may it be Accenture, may it be the Tata Group, any organization, if you consider, would always prefer the most appropriate candidate for the job. For example, if there is a need in one of the reputed IT organizations for a Python developer, now would they go for a person who's done M.Tech or a doctorate in mechanical engineering? Definitely not. They would look for a person who's done their master's or their bachelor's in computer science and who's got relevant experience, correct? So thus, this particular process is concerned with selecting the most appropriate or suitable candidate through various interviews and tests. Of course, we will be having a detailed look through the various chapters related to interviews and tests. So selection, as the name goes, is a mechanism which filters through a series of funnels to find the solution via elimination. So selection happens via the process of elimination. As stated through examples, if the qualification fit is not met, if the culture fitment does not happen, if the person does not have relevant experience for the job, these can be candidates for the person to be disqualified from the recruitment or the hiring process through the means of the selection process. So the person would not be selected, although they have been considered initially, they would be filtered through these selection processes or the funnels. Now let's look at the recruitment process in a nutshell. So what happens basically if there are some concrete steps or phases that need to be followed, or I would say broad steps, as we can see over here. All right, so what are those particular steps or stages that do happen in the recruitment process? All right, so I have already in the first few slides given you a sort of an example or an illustration. Let's work through more specifics. So here the first stage, as you can see over here, is there is a requisition. So what's a requisition? A requisition comes from the existing people that they need more manpower. For example, while working for Cummins, KPIT Cummins, I was working as a learning and development professional. And those times we used to work for the IT services sector. So I used to, train for and give consulting to that sector. And we had several processes which required more people because those processes were growing. Now the managers in those processes, they, calculated the need and sent forward workforce requisitions, correct? So these workforce requisitions are nothing but requests for additional manpower. And then these are sent to the in-house recruitment professionals or the human resources, depending upon the size of the organization. So if the organization has a full-fledged or a devoted recruitment or a talent search and deployment division, they will use various sources. These can be broadly classified into internal and external sources. So we will discuss in detail as our discussions carry on about these sources. So with the help of these sources, there will be, as stated earlier, a pool of candidates or prospects created. The next is understand how to choose a source to generate qualified pool, depending upon the situation, depending upon the needs of the external customers or clients, depending upon the profile. It is for the recruitment professionals, which represent the organization, to take a call to use certain sources of recruitment, which we shall again see in detail in the next upcoming discussions. And of course, understand the difference between recruitment and selection. So what is the difference between these two processes? So I believe this point in time, we have realized on a broad note what is the difference, and of course this will be elaborated as we progress, correct? And as stated, recruitment acts as a link between the employers and the job seekers, and of course ensures the placement of right candidates from the right place and at the right time. So this was the recruitment process in a nutshell. Okay, now what we'll do is, as stated, I had briefly explained the diagram, those points. Now we will take up each point and expand upon them. So a job requisition is a formal document that the department managers use to request the hiring of the new employees. So as stated, as soon as a requirement comes up, they generate. So today, with the help of advanced intranet facilities, so using that organizational intranet, we already have the document templates. It's just to be filled by those managers who already are working and sent to the TSD or the recruitment professionals. This is important because it states the department manager's need for new employees. So through the help of the example previously cited, I think this is now something pretty simple. As such, a job requisition is an important part of the hiring process, especially in companies with HR departments who have formal human resource procedures. Now, many of the organizations who have grown from the startup phases, who are now having, you know, their own place in the market, this is critical. They don't want to waste time and efforts on hiring wrong people. So this becomes extremely important for them. In fact, if they get the right people at the right time, they stay competitive in the market. Otherwise, they may lose their image in the market with the wrong people and those people who might struggle with the customer's needs. So in order to keep the customers happy, customers delighted, this becomes very important. So the workforce requisition is the process through which an approval is taken to initiate the recruitment process. So this is very important. It has to follow a systematic manner so that the recruitment happens in a systematic and a scientific fashion. The primary purpose of this process is to encourage effective workforce planning. So workforce planning has to be done efficiently and in an effective manner. It has to also encompass the aspect of openness in communication between the various layers and levels of management. So communication should be clear from the managers who need those professionals on board to the talent search and deployment or the recruitment or the human resource department, so that there is no mishap or there is no misadventure and the systematic nature of the recruitment process remains intact. In this context, appropriate legal checks prior to the beginning of the hiring process also become important and serve as a primary purpose, as stated over here in this specific point. This form is used when a replacement is needed for a current regular full-time or a part-time staff opening, a new staff position is being established, or during a restructuring of a current position. So three scenarios arise where the recruitment, workforce recruitment form or the workforce requisition process is invoked. So it is invoked when there is the need for a regular full-time, like let's suppose we are working for a semiconductor industry. Now in this, there is the need for a R&D scientist. Okay, so a research and development scientist need opens up for a new process. Now there you might look at a regular full-time. There might be a need for a part-time staff opening as well, who might work on a consultative basis. There may be an entirely new position, or there may be a restructuring where a specific manager is put to another department and a vacancy opens up. So this vacancy can be filled internally or externally, requiring the workforce requisition form. The manager in whose team the vacancies have arisen initiates the process through this particular form. Now let us look at some of the sources to generate a qualified pool of applicants. Now this is a topic which will be looked upon in various places in this subject of recruitment management. Once the workforce requisition has been approved, the human resource manager or the team initiates the search. Before starting the search for the candidates externally, one should look within the organization for suitable candidates. Now, many a times, the organization itself might have the desired candidates who demonstrate leadership capabilities. In the various organizations that I have worked for, consulted and trained, we are usually able to identify select number of people who already possess exemplary leadership and management capabilities, who may currently be in a role of management or not. So many a times, engineers, accountants, frontline staff, they may possess leadership capabilities and may be considered suitable for the next level. In this case, it would be futile to waste time and energy searching for options outside when you have those desired candidates in-house. So the talent search and deployment team may, use certain skills, certain tests, certain interviewing mechanisms to search for such candidates and select them for the job profile. Here, let's look at, in a diagrammatic fashion, the impact factors of recruitment. So factors that would impact the choice of the source are cited over here. Now they include, let's begin in a clockwise fashion to make it a very simple process. Let's begin with the financials. So the first thing is the financials. So does the company have the right budget to induct people from outside? If there is a strain on the budget and if they are able to compromise, if they are willing to compromise on certain aspects of the experience related to the employees, they might consider internal recruitment. If budget is not a constraint and if it's a niche requirement that cannot be fulfilled, they would need to look at external sources. The next is the levels of management. So for example, if an organization is in the need of a chief technology officer, and this is a need which cannot be sufficed within the internal candidates, then they would need to opt for somebody from the outside. Another would be the scale of the recruitment. For example, many a times the client desires to fill about 50, 100, 150 manpower needs, and such a humongous scale, or sometimes even to the tune of 1000 and 1500, 10,000, such a humongous or a huge scale cannot be sufficed internally. So they have to create drives where external help is needed. The next is the regularity. So if the need is regular, then it becomes difficult to recruit people from within. So you have to use external consultants, you have to use drives, you have to go to the campus at times, you have to use headhunters, which we'll all discuss on a later basis. So this has to be used. Involvement. So another aspect is, if there are internal people and they are, they need an element of involvement, if they want to be engaged further, and if this happens through some sort of promotions, then this can be another impact factor. Availability. So sometimes there are certain niche projects, certain critical projects, and availability becomes an issue internally. So they need to cite external sources. If people are easily available, they're willing to relocate or get transfers for promotional sakes, then it can be done on an internal basis. The budget, similar to financials. So the budget spending. So how much would the organization spend on the incumbents? So if they're spending a certain amount on the incumbents, and if the budget is there, they can look forward to external sources. They also have to pay the consultants or the headhunters. So if budget is not available, like in the financials, then they would need to grow the people internally. And of course, technology. So for example, when I was working with Cummins, we had a requirement for an RMS Corba, which is an uncommon or a critical technology. and we were required to hire about 50 number of candidates. Now, since this technology was not something common like a C or a Java, there was a lot of help required from external consultants. A lot of recruitment drives would be created. We would have to post this information on LinkedIn and the various other social media sites to gain those number of candidates. So in short, this is, the list of impact factors. There may be many more, but these are some of the most important ones from the context of the recruitment process. Now let's look at the internal methods. So of course, as discussed in the previous couple of slides, we come to understand that the organization, before looking out, may look inwards. So they might look up to fill their positions, their open positions, through internal methods. Of course, this would be subject to suitability on the basis of the qualification, experience, recommendations from the managers or supervisors. Thus, the job can be advertised internally. Now, the best way or the most conventional mechanism that is there in the current industry is an IJP or an internal job posting. So such an IJP is published through the internet, through the company's various channels and conduits, and the prospective candidates can then apply on these basis, this particular factor basis. Of course, these four important aspects come under the purview of the IJP. First is the manager's references. So the managers can refer certain sources, certain deserving candidates for a promotion that would happen through an IJP. So manager would give a reference. For example, when I was working for Wipro, so the managers had given references of the people who were good with the process to be selected as the team coaches and get a promotion. The next can be through an internal email circulation where the organization, maybe the talent search deployment or the recruitment department, may send specific mails for the people to know that such an IJP exists, as well as through the communication meetings. So they may communicate it to the managers, and the managers may percolate it or permeate it down the line. Of course, this can also happen in R&Rs or town halls where there is a one-to-many mechanism, where the senior management may also take a call on discussing this to the entire audience of the organization. This can also be done on floor notice boards. So the notice boards which are present on the work floor, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's heavy engineering, whether it's IT services, banking and finance, FMCG. So visual areas that are easily accessible to the eyes, such notice boards may have positions published, and people interested may then go ahead and suggest their own names. They may fill those IJP forms or click on those links and be a party to an interview. So these were some of the methods, students, where we can have internal methods of being promoted or recruited for a different position. Now let's look at some of the merits, or we can also call them as the benefits of sourcing candidates internally. Now, of course, as we understand, there is an overarching culture or a climate that each organization tends to have, and culturally, these candidates may be seen fitter than those which would be inducted externally. Of course, another factor or merit is that there is no substitute for knowing the candidate's performance, strengths, and areas of development than those who are already working for the organization. Correct? So you might just be able to speculate or guess about an external candidate. correct? You might only have a few references whom you could speak to get clarity. But people whom you are already observing for maybe months or years on an end would make that perception more accurate. Thus, with internal candidates, you're likely to have that accurate view, or a more accurate view, we can say. The next aspect is commitment levels of internal candidates may be higher because they're already, amenable. They're already, as I would say, a part of the culture of the organization. And of course, what would boost their morale better or higher than a promotion in the job, which rewards their performance, gives them more perks, gives them more incentives, along with a scope to live a better lifestyle. Training and orientation time is also saved. So let's suppose, there's a pilot who's flown 10,000 hours in the air, who's already working for maybe an Indigo Airlines. All right, so let's take a different view. Let's take a look at the aviation industry. Okay, now when a new airlines like Akasha Air, okay, which was launched recently, if they were to induct pilots and they were to give them training, wouldn't it be a cumbersome process to do so? I think everybody would agree to this. But if pilots from airlines like Indigo Airlines, like Go Air, airlines like Air India, if they possess 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 flying hours, wouldn't be a good idea to induct them into the system? So over here as well, if people have already worked on a machine for hours, for months, for years, correct, and they were to be promoted as, let's say, they're working as a technical operator, they would be promoted as a supervisor or a senior operator, wouldn't it save time? Yes, because they are familiar with the workings of those machines, correct? Similar to the pilots who are familiar with aircrafts and require least amount of training. Employee morale, as we have discussed, will rise as they will see jobs, the opportunities for job enhancement and growth. So they will be able to see, today I was earning this amount, I will be earning another set plus Y amount. I will also be able to lead some of my colleagues, so I will have more influence over them and I will get a change in my job role. So these are some of the aspects where the employees will feel elated, they will feel joyful, and they will feel more involved in coming to work. Now here what we are seeing is, we are seeing how this process works. So first part is approved staffing requirement for the year. So how does any organization come up with recruitment needs? So if there is yes, if this is yes, manager raises the workforce request. Then it proceeds to be approved by the department head and the HR manager jointly. And then there is an approved workforce request. If no, manager raises the workforce request, approved by the CO. So this can happen in a special case, correct? So this is in terms of contingency or emergency. Now what happens to the approved workforce request? So we pick it up from here, and we are further expanding this particular process in this context. So internal candidates identified and selected. So if yes, move candidate to the new role. So if there is the internal candidate who can suffice to the needs, they are promoted. If no, identify and activate external search. For example, let's consider a food manufacturing organization. Let's say various organizations which create beverages, which create fast foods, which create bottled beverages. So in one such organization, there is a need for bottling technicians. And what has happened is the existing people are already, they're working full-time or overtime, and hence they cannot be considered. So there might be a need to identify new people and activate external search. Now let's look at the risks. So let's look at the other side of the coin. We have already looked at the merits of sourcing candidates internally. Now let's consider the risks. So sometimes it's important to play the devil's advocate and also consider risks that are involved in sourcing of internal clients or candidates. So internal candidates who don't get the job may get demotivated. So although there is an IJP published, although people are, you know, tested and interviewed, if they cannot make the cut, they may get demotivated. They may also think, or they may, you know, have a false perception that the IJP was a farce. It was a formality, and the truth was that the organization always desired to get external candidates for those positions. So this may be, you know, something which the internal candidates may perceive. The person who moves into the new role may find it difficult to gain acceptance from a group of erstwhile peers. So this is something which is commonly observed. Many of you might be working, correct? So following this hybrid and this particular, distance course, most of you might be working and have experienced this in your respective organizations. So there is a factor of jealousy, there's a factor of condescence, there's a factor, I would say, of peer annoyance when people, they move to the new role from their peers who are equals. So it's very difficult to gain respect of your peers, gain acceptance of those peers when you have essentially moved into the new role. So they either end up taking you for granted, or it's difficult for them to look at you as a leader whom they have to report to. Thank you.